after him. Please take your Bibles this morning, and in the couple minutes we have before we rejoice the Lord's table, participate in communion, we'd like to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In your bulletin, there is an insert as well, some notes as we go through this passage of Scripture. In a minute, I'll start reading in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians in verse 3. And our passage this morning will be verse 3 down through verse 11. Start reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. I know this is not a traditional passage that we might go to before we come to communion. Many times we'll run to passages of Scripture that focus on the death of Christ on the cross. But in this passage, we see very clearly as we go through it that we as Christians, if you're a Christian, you have comfort through the cross of Christ. Not only do we have salvation that frees us from the penalty of sin through faith in Jesus Christ, but we also have comfort through Christ. And as he suffered on the cross in our place, he helps us and gives us comfort as we go through times of affliction. Before we jump into this passage and walk through it briefly together, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray that God would be glorified as we come to his word. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time and our worship gathering together that we can come to your word. We thank you for your word that is true. Thank you that it guides us through the complexities and the challenges that we face in life. And we thank you that in your heart and mind, to you, there is no challenge too great. There is no complexity to you because you are all-knowing. You are all-wise. You are all-powerful, and you are ever-present with us. But Father, we struggle. While you do not, we do. And we thank you that you've promised to help us, to comfort us, to give us wisdom in times of affliction and struggle. I thank you for our church family. Thank you for how you are guiding many of us through times of pressure, times of affliction, times of sorrow, times of testing. And we thank you that you've promised to have the comfort there as the affliction, as the testing comes. Father, I pray that you will help me as I preach your word this morning. I pray that your spirit will speak through your word. I pray that I will not get in the way of what your spirit wants to convey to our hearts this morning. I pray that you will help the meditations of each of our hearts, the words of my mouth, to be pleasing, to be acceptable to you. Help us to understand your word so that we can obey your word, so that we can love you more and love one another as you've called us to. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I have been just looking forward a little bit. I've been looking at the book of 2 Corinthians. God's been really using it in my life. And as I've really been praying, as we have been praying together, praying for a number of opportunities in our church family, praying for some burdens that are heavy on the hearts of many of our church family, seeing the reality of the world that we are finding ourselves in, the culture, the circumstances, I have just been impressed more and more on how much I need Christ's comfort, how much I need to have his idea of what comfort is instead of my idea of what comfort is And it all finds its encouragement to me and to us in Christ. And so as we, in the next couple weeks, we're going to be beginning a study in 2 Corinthians on Sunday evenings. We've been looking at understanding and applying God's word to our hearts and mind, and we've covered an awful lot what I was hoping to cover in that study. We're going to move on to studying through 2 Corinthians. So maybe you don't already have a book of the Bible that you're studying through. 2 Corinthians would be a wonderful one for you to read through. But we will hopefully begin this several weeks down the road on a Sunday evening. We'll just go verse by verse, walk through 2 Corinthians, very similar to what's been going on in adult Sunday school as well. So anyway, this is a letter that comforts Christians in times of affliction. It gives good truth that should comfort us in times of affliction, times of testing, times of trial. So I'm looking forward to that study. As we come to God's word this morning, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing a letter. Now, the title of this letter in our Bibles is called 2 Corinthians. But Paul, the Apostle, wrote, as many of us do, he wrote many letters in his life, many writings, but there were certain ones that the Spirit of God expressly inspired as God's inspired word, the very word of God. And so we have two letters that Paul has written. Between 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, there was at least one, possibly two other letters that Paul had sent that the Spirit of God did not preserve for us, or that was not inspired by the Holy Spirit. But this one is. And if you're familiar at all with 1 Corinthians, and I'm not going to put a lot of time into background this morning, we'll wait till we get to our study. But if you're familiar with the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes that letter to confront this church with a lot of areas in their life that were not in connection with how a Christian ought to live. There was division. There was disunity. There was sin running rampant in many of these professing Christians' lives. And the Apostle Paul writes and says, hey, you cannot live this way if you call yourself a Christian. If you are truly a Christian, you cannot live this way. And it seems that while some in the Corinthian church initially responded in the right way and repented of their sin, there were some that were very hardened still. And Paul would write what's called, he refers to as a severe letter, a very hard letter, a very difficult letter for him to write, saying, if you do not repent of this sin, then you will be thrown out of the church because you are not a Christian. That's a very hard thing for any pastor or anyone to say, but this is what Christ has said. Those who profess to be Christians but are not living, you must not have them in your midst. That was a very hard letter, and we don't know all the details of that, but it's called a severe letter. And so the relationship between Paul and the Corinthians, while they were one in Christ, there were some great challenges, and Paul was not able to be there with them. There were accusations being made against the Apostle Paul, accusations such as, well, he's not really a true apostle, or he just wants your money, or he is an unloving, look at how he's talking to you, he is distant from you, why isn't he there with you, and Paul was being led by God to other parts of the world, of Greece and the Asia area, to minister the gospel. He wasn't there with them, but he loved these people. He never gave up on these Christians that he had helped to bring to Christ, helped to help this church begin. And so 2 Corinthians, in between 1 and 2 Corinthians, a lot of good things have happened. That severe letter that was sent, God used it in people's hearts and lives to convict them over their sin. There was much repentance that took place. There was even a brother in Christ who had been excommunicated or removed from the church who had repented of his sin, and he needed to be restored. And this whole letter of 2 Corinthians has a big focus on restoration, comfort in times of affliction, restoring relationships, and it focuses a lot on the comfort that we have as Christians, even in times of great difficulty. We see in 2 Corinthians parts of Paul's life that he doesn't share in other letters, where we see into the heart of Paul, where we see his humanity. Sometimes we need to be very careful when we come to God's word that we don't put the apostles on a level higher than us, realizing they are just men who were redeemed by faith in Jesus Christ. They're sinners who need a Savior just like us. And Paul talks about, even in chapter 1 a little bit, how there was times where he thought he was going to die. He was despairing, perhaps even going into a time of depression, struggling because of the circumstances around him, and yet God allowed him to go through that with God's comfort, with God's blessing, and victory. It's, I think, a very appropriate book for every Christian. So as we come to the passage this morning, we want to look at some truths about the comfort that Christians have through Jesus Christ, as well as of the affliction that we must face, the testing, the trials that are part of the Christian life. And then also, what is our response to that? And our ultimate response should be thankfulness to God as we see Him guiding us. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, rejoicing at the Lord's table is a response of worship to Christ's death for us. And as we think of the comfort that God gives, we also should respond in a worshipful way. Let's start by looking at the text. We'll start back in verse 3. Paul begins, in verse 1 and 2 with a typical greeting. And it's a normal greeting that Paul would give. And he says he's writing to the church of God that is in Corinth, to all the saints in that region of Corinth. And then he starts out a little differently. Normally, Paul will begin his letters by thankfulness for these people. And he is thankful for these people. But he gives a blessing here to God. Verse 3, blessed or praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. I'll stop there for now. I want to look at some, as we walk through this passage, verses 3 through 11, first we want to look at what is the Christian's comfort. The Christian's comfort is based on a number of things. It includes a number of things. This word comfort that we see in verse 3 and throughout, I think it's used 10 times in this section, the word comfort. It means coming alongside of and encouraging. It means showing compassion to. And here we see both the noun, the God of all comfort, and He is the God who establishes what comfort actually is. But He also is the one who shows comfort in a verbal way, the actions of comfort, as He comforts His church and His children. We see that, first of all, the Christian's comfort, as we look at a number of things very briefly, the Christian's comfort is Christ-centered. It's Christ-centered in its foundation. Notice verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, we cannot call God our Heavenly Father. He is our Creator. He is the maker of all things, but before we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're saved from our sin, He is our condemner. He is the righteous judge who must punish sin. But through faith in Jesus Christ, He brings us into His family. He draws us to Himself through faith in Jesus Christ. And so now He is our God. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul identifies with these Christians in Corinth. Those who have been repenting of sin, those who have been struggling with sin but have been pushing forward and persevering to pursue holiness as God can help them. He says, this is our Savior Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father, he goes on to say, is the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. This was something that the Jewish people rejoiced in, that God, their the God of heaven, Yahweh, the Lord, Jehovah, He was a God who showed them steadfast love, steadfast mercy. And Paul connects this with Christ. The comfort that we receive as Christians is founded on our faith in Jesus Christ. As we come to the table this morning, this table reminds us that no matter what sin we face, because Christ has paid the penalty for our sin, if you're a Christian, we have the comfort and the assurance of knowing that we are no longer in bondage to sin. Christ paid that penalty for us. And so we rejoice that the comfort, the assurance, the compassion that we receive from God is not just Him showing it to sinners who don't have a relationship with Him, but it is to His own children. Also, this Christian comfort is circulatory in its function. Did you catch how in verse 4, God comforts us so that we can comfort those in our church family and in the church who are in affliction. Verse 4, and how do we comfort them? Not with just words that we make up, but with the comfort, the truth that God has been reaching into our hearts as we go through hard times. We go and we encourage others in that same way. And it's this beautiful cycle. You think of the circulatory system in our bodies and how everything must function together in our bodies so that blood circulates and oxygen circulates. And how God has created the human body to be one wonderful circulatory reality. It's the same for the church. God has called His church to be a church that is circulating the comfort of Christ to one another, the encouragement, the building up, the encouraging one another when we go through difficult times. And as God encourages us through difficult times, we go and we pass that encouragement on to one another. That's the beauty. And what a blessing it's been to see so many of us in our church family doing that to one another, especially this last year and some of the challenges that we've had as a church family or individuals have had in their own lives. What a blessing to see the comfort that we can encourage one another with. Don't stop doing that. And the blessing is, as we have comfort and we share it with others, the comfort that God has given us, when we enter into the next time of testing for us, those brothers and sisters in Christ will be ready to comfort us. And the ultimate comfort comes from God. It is circulatory in function. It is corporate in its focus. It's this church-wide, this comfort. Verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. There's a corporate, not just individual Christians. Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, but the church in general at large. Every one of us are going to face affliction. We'll talk about that in a moment. But with the affliction, with the testing, that word affliction means literally pressure. Have any of you been under pressure this past week? It seems every week, doesn't it? And some weeks seem to have more pressure than others. But this word for affliction literally means pressure, pressing, tightness. Sometimes maybe just an emotional pressure. Sometimes it's a physical. We just feel the weight of everything that's going on in our lives. God allows that for a reason. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but through that affliction comes comfort, comes mercy, comes a Godward focus through that affliction. And we take what God is teaching us and we circulate it amongst one another. That's why we gather. That's why the church gathered together so often, many times throughout the week, as much as possible. It wasn't just to do something, it was to encourage, to build up, to strengthen. I think sometimes in America, we've kind of got it wrong a little bit, where if we're not careful, we can see gathering as the church is just, well, something we do on Sundays, and maybe even just Sunday mornings, and then we're done for the week. But the scriptures seem to point us to as much as was within us. Be encouraging, be gathering together, and think of what we have today. We have, I even leave my phone over there so it doesn't cause issues with the sound, but we have these phones, and they have all our attention so many times, and yet we do have many ways of using these tools that God has given for good, communicating with one another. We have no excuse, especially today, to not be encouraging, comforting one another in times of affliction. But if we're not careful, we will see our affliction as a very self-centered thing, rather than God's going to use whatever I'm going through right now to advance his glory in my life and to use it as an opportunity to bless others. So anyway, the Christian's comfort, it's Christ-centered, it's circulatory, it's meant to be a corporate focus, church-wide focus of comforting one another. We get down through verse 6, notice Paul says, if we are afflicted, if we're pressed beyond measure, if we're pressed in difficult circumstances, it is for your comfort, Paul says. Have you ever thought of that? If I'm going through a very difficult time as a brother and sister in Christ, it is for the comfort of my other brothers and sisters. Does that sound weird? You think, no, I'm going through a hard time. I need the comfort. Well, God's going to give the comfort. But God is allowing in his perfect, loving, gracious plan for his children to go through seasons of affliction so that they will be able to use the comfort they receive from God to be a comfort to others. It might happen. It might not happen right away. But there will come a time when you will come across a brother or sister in Christ who's going through a hard time, and you can say, you know what? Not only am I praying for you, I know what you're going through because I've been there, or I'm still there, but God is helping me. And look how he's comforted me with his word. I want to encourage you. And as you encourage them, they go forward and they glorify God and they have wonderful fruit that comes through that. We'll talk about that fruit in just a minute. But it is a corporate focus. Verse 7, he goes to say, our hope for you is unshaken. Through the difficult times that Paul and his ministry team had faced, their hope got stronger even in the middle of that affliction because they saw God give comfort and God guide them through. In verse 7, he says, our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Paul, as you go through 2 Corinthians, learns about the remorse, the sorrow that so many in the church had as they finally saw their sin for what it was. And there was a godly sorrow that brought about repentance, and they were just overcome. And yet he says, don't be overcome with guilt. Go forward. Don't be anchored in guilt. As you go through this, he's going to say, you're suffering. Some of you are suffering with just the reality, the consequences of sin. But you know what? God is going to comfort you through that if you have the right heart, the right focus. He says, we're all in this together. And I love in verse 7, there's a confidence here. Christian comfort is confident in its future. He says, you will share in our comforts. You will be comforted. Remember the passage of Scripture says, weeping may last for the evening, but joy comes in the morning. God allows his Christians, his church, to be able to have joy even through affliction because he gives us that steadfast comfort. Sometimes it's physical affliction. Our bodies, they ache, they get hurt, we have surgeries, we recover. It takes time. And even through that, God cares about our emotions. He cares about our bodies, and he gives us the comfort, the grace we need. Other times, it's all emotional. And many times, that's where comfort is. What is comfort? Comfort requires a difficult situation for comfort to exist in the sense of showing comfort. There is a sense that comfort can mean ease and nothing to worry about. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about an affliction, a difficult time where comfort is needed. And God promises always to give that. The Christian's comfort is confident in its future. God will give comfort. He will give renewal. But also there's fruit that comes. We're going to work briefly through two more things about Christian's comfort. It is compassionate. The Christian comfort is compassionate in its fruit. It is even, we could say, comforting. That seems kind of double repeating, but it's compassionate, comforting in its fruit. Notice verse 6, he says, if we're afflicted, it's for your comfort. So even my affliction, the comfort I go through, is engendering more comfort for others. There's a fruit of comfort that comes in my life that comes to you. Also, verse 6, you experience this comfort when you patiently endure suffering. One of the fruits of the comfort that God gives to his children is endurance, patient endurance through the affliction. You know, God doesn't always take the trial away instantly. There will be a day when there will be no more trials, no more struggles in this world. But even through those struggles, God helps us have perseverance, patient endurance, he says in verse 6. And also we have hope, verse 7. The comfort that God gives produces hope. This is very similar to Romans 5, where of suffering produces endurance, endurance produces hope, hope produces all these peace and all these truths. God has a plan for our suffering. As one author said, God never wastes suffering for his children. God doesn't allow us to suffer because he doesn't love us. He allows us to suffer because through that suffering, we will know the grace of God and his glory in a deeper way. And also, it's not about us only. It's about our church. Our church family will be encouraged. We will have an opportunity to witness the glory of God as we press forward through difficulty and we comfort others with the comfort that God has given us. Another fruit is prayer. You jump down to verse 11. We pray for one another much better. When we are going through times of testing and God's giving us comfort, it changes our perspective of how we ought to pray for one another. Verse 11, he says, you almost help us. Please help us by prayer. Why? So that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. One reason we have a prayer sheet or a prayer weekly prayer sheet is that we will not just pray, but as prayer is answered, it will build up the body. It will build up the encouragement in the body as we see God answering prayer, that we will respond with thankfulness. That's what I look forward to the most on Wednesday nights is praises. What do we have to praise God for? Or as we keep praying, what do we have to keep asking for? Prayer is hard work because we don't always see the results right away, but we do know that God always hears us. That's the comfort for the believer in times of affliction. God causes us to pray. There is a compassionate fruit towards one another, whether it be persevering with together, whether it be hoping together, whether it be praying together. And then quickly, another final reality of Christian comfort is that the Christian's comfort is consecrated in its finality. There is a certain point that it will come to an end. Verse 10, Paul says, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. There will be a time where God will deliver us out of this affliction. It could be when he takes us home to be with him in heaven. It could be that he will allow this physical challenge or this relational challenge to be resolved in this life. But we know that God will deliver us in his perfect timing. And we will glorify him even in that deliverance as we glorify him as we go through. The ultimate deliverance from affliction is glorification in heaven. And I think Paul may be looking to this as well. God will deliver us one day out of this world. He will call us home, and we will be with Jesus. So the Christian's comfort has a number of wonderful, it's a well-rounded reality. But very quickly, we want to look at the Christian's affliction, because that's also just as real as the comfort. In fact, the affliction must be there for the comfort to come as it comes. I want to encourage us with a couple thoughts about the Christian's affliction that Paul gives here. First of all, the Christian's affliction is known or seen by God. Nothing we go through in life takes God by surprise. No testing, no trial, no pressure, no crushing that we go through is ignored or unknown by God. Look at verse 4. This Father of mercies and God of all comfort, verse 4, who comforts us in some of our affliction, what's the word? All our affliction. He is there to comfort in all affliction. That means that he knows, he sees. He sees affliction coming on the horizon, and he already, in his perfect, sovereign, loving plan as our Heavenly Father, has the comfort ready to give. The comfort is found in his word. It's found through prayer. It's found in fellowship and communion with God. But it's there. He sees our affliction. He knows it. It is not absent or surprise to him. It also, our affliction as Christians, and this is as Christians, is set apart or sanctified by God for a very important purpose. And we've already mentioned that, but look again at verse 4. He says, God comforts us in all our affliction. He sees it all. Why? There is a purpose for it, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And he goes on as we read through verse 7. The Christian's affliction is sanctified, set apart for a very specific purpose. It's to be used for the building up of the body of Christ. How that would change my perspective when I'm going through a difficult time. And it could be one of the most frustrating things. That person pulls out in front of you and smashes right into your car. That car that you just paid off. Oh, it's okay, you're going to get a new car. Yeah. What? This is not what I planned. This did not happen, okay? This didn't happen to us. I'm not saying that, but I'm thinking this has happened at times. And you're frustrated. Maybe you're angry. And maybe even as you're seeing your car get towed, you're wondering, why? Why? Here's one reason why. Because it's not about us. It's about God's love for his church. God is going to use that trial in your life that could be so difficult, so frustrating, so long at times even maybe. And if we will trust him, he will give us comfort and provision and assurance and grace and mercy through that time where we will come out on the other end refined, as Peter says, refined more like gold, holiness and more in our hearts. And we'll be a blessing to the church. We will be showing forth the glory of God through this trial. Does that mean it's easy? Not at all. But God has a sanctified purpose for every trial we face. We can rest that he has a good purpose, even though it's very difficult. Even if that purpose means that he calls us home to be with him. I tell you, if you're a Christian and God calls you home, there are no regrets. And for your family and loved ones who are left here, God will provide. God will take care of them. And he will teach them more about his glory through your testimony of being with him in heaven. Christian's affliction is seen by God, sanctified by God. It is shared with God. Did you realize that as Christ suffers, we also can suffer with him? Look at verse 5. He says, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples before he went to the cross? He says, the servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. But take heart, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. And as we identify with Christ through suffering, suffering for righteousness' sake, we show forth to others a picture of what Christ did for us on the cross. As we trust in him, we show how Christ trusted in his Father, and his Father raised him to life. He has also raised us to newness of life so that we can endure and persevere for the glory of God. We suffer, and as we share in Christ's sufferings, it is a reminder to us that we are truly in Christ. Quickly, we are also, the affliction of the Christian is surrounded by God. It's not just seen by God, but it's surrounded by him. Notice who comforts us in all our affliction. And he says at the very end of verse 4, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. It's kind of a tongue twister, isn't it? But what he's saying is here, God gives us comfort in our affliction. And we give it to others. And we're comforted as well. And God and his comfort is surrounding our affliction as we are comforted in our own hearts and as we share comfort with others. Could I encourage you this morning? Don't think that God does not love you when he allows difficult times to come. If you're a Christian, the scriptures make it very clear, there will be hard times, but you will not be alone like you were before. You have Christ indwelling you. You have his Spirit, the Heavenly Father's presence with us. We have his word. We have his church to encourage. We have hope in our times of affliction. Our affliction is surrounded by God as a Christian. And it's secure in God. Look at verse 8 through 10. Paul goes here, he doesn't give any specific details, but he talks about an experience they had in Asia. This is possibly referring to Paul's time in Ephesus. The book of Ephesians is one of my favorite epistles in the New Testament. So much good truth there. But the ministry that Paul had in Ephesus was not at all easy. In fact, if you go to Acts 18 and 19, you see where Paul was almost killed in Ephesus for his stand for Christ. As people turned to Jesus, they turned away from idols. The sellers of those idols got very upset because now they weren't making money off of selling idols. And they tried to get Paul executed. There was the whole city, it seemed, came to this amphitheater and were screaming at the top of their lungs, "Great is Diana, our idol." And Paul is here and this crowd is screaming, wanting to kill him. And God preserves his life through it. Paul talks about how he fought against beasts. There's a lot of things that Paul endured in his ministry in Asia Minor. And here there is a situation, verse 8, we don't want you to be unaware, brothers. The affliction we experienced in Asia, we were so utterly burdened beyond strength. We despaired of life itself. We felt we received the sentence of death. But God had a reason in all that. That very difficult affliction, why did God allow that? Because he wanted us to not rely on ourselves, verse 9, but rely on him who raises the dead. Even if you die, God's good, and he will raise us to be with him. We rely on God, not on our circumstances. We rely on God, not on our fears. We rely on God, not on our physical comforts, but on the comfort that he gives through Christ. It is secure in God. We will never, in our Christian lives, have any affliction come into our lives that is outside of God's will, outside of his mercy, outside of his comfort. The Christian's affliction is secure in God. So I'd encourage you, whatever you're facing today or whatever you may face down the road or whatever God has brought you through, it wasn't by accident. It wasn't from an unloving God. It's from a God who loves you very much. I want you to know his grace in an even deeper way. Our affliction as Christians is sovereignly appointed by God. Verse 9, the last half. God had a purpose so that we will not rely on ourselves, but we rely on him. So what is our response as we prepare to close? What is our response? What is our response to affliction, to God's comfort that he gives in times of affliction? Well, we should have an increased worship to our Heavenly Father. How does it start? Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father. And he focuses specifically on God's mercy and his comfort through Christ. As we go through affliction and we know God's comfort, and as God's comfort passes from us to other believers and other people, we should increase and grow in our worship of our Heavenly Father. Our response is couched in God's sovereignty. I remember looking for a ring when I was getting to really like Sarah. And thinking, I think I really want to like her and love her for the rest of my life. I remember looking for that ring and hearing from her what she kind of might like. And so it wasn't a total surprise when she got it, but I wanted her to really like it. But there were a lot of different settings that you could get for a ring. white gold, gold, platinum, yellow gold, for all these different options. And the beauty of that jewel, that diamond, was reflected and made extra beautiful because of the setting, the couched ring that it was sitting in. You don't put a special, expensive diamond in a plastic ring. And if we're not careful, if we put our response to trials and everything, we base our response and trials on what we think our life should be like, or on anything outside of God's sovereignty, our response will not be precious in the eyes of God. But if our response is like that diamond nestled in the sovereignty of God that is pure, that is priceless, then our response will be a jewel of faith and worship in the eyes of God. We also should increase in our hope. Increase in our hope in God's plan. He says, our hope for you is unshaken, verse 7. And verse 10, God will deliver us. So our hope in God's plan for his church also increases through times of affliction and comfort. Also, we increase in our faith in God's deliverance, 9 and 10. We believe, we know that God raises the dead, and we believe that he will raise us. And also an increased love for God and one for another. That should be our response as we go through times of affliction and God's comfort. Increased love for God and one another. The God of our and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice, we love him more, and we love one another more. We pray for one another, we encourage one another through this. You probably heard the question, why do bad things happen to good people? That's a big question. It's really not the best question, though, because there's no such thing as a good person. We're all sinners. Sin is prevalent in this world, but there is another question we could ask, and I think we all ask many times, and it's not a bad question. Why? Why do bad things happen to God's people? Why do bad things happen? Why do difficult things, why does affliction happen to God's people? God makes it very clear so that we will grow in our worship of God. We will grow in our hope in God, grow in our faith and our love for him and for one another. So as we close this morning, very quickly, not going to spend much time here, but I have some observations. First, without affliction, without pressing, without trials, or even without the possibility of affliction on the horizon, comfort does not exist as a verb. We have to have affliction to be able to have the comfort that God provides. It's just an observation. Paul makes it clear, we got to have this. This is part of the Christian life. And secondly, God ordains temporary affliction for his children, because through this affliction comes a deeper comfort that is eternal and essential for true Christian living. We won't turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, at the end of that chapter, Paul lists a whole litany of things that he's gone through, trials, struggles, physical infirmities, and he says, but this light affliction is but for a moment. It's light affliction now because there's a greater glory awaiting us in heaven. We anticipate heaven and glory of God more when we go through affliction, rather than getting enamored with this world. R. Kent Hughes said that storms are God's way of bringing us into deeper grace. God has a reason for the storms he allows. May we not fight those storms. May we not resist them. May we rest in God and grow in our knowledge of him. Third observation, the greatest example. What is the greatest example as we come to communion? What's the greatest example of God using affliction for the good of his children? The greatest example of God ordaining temporary affliction for his children and then using that affliction for eternal comfort is found in the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. It is made very clear that God crushed his son. He died in our place. He faced the greatest affliction, the greatest pressing that anyone could ever face, and yet he triumphed through it as God raised him from the dead. And by doing so, he set an example for us how we go through affliction. God will raise us up through that. Christian comfort, fourthly, is sourced in the character of God. He is the God of all comfort. So as we prepare for communion this morning, the big idea I would leave us with from this passage is this. Perfect comfort, not temporary comfort, perfect comfort is only found through faith in Christ. Christian comfort is Christ-centered in its foundation. And true comfort, perfect comfort, is only found through faith in Christ. If you're a Christian this morning, could I encourage you? Be comforted. Know that God is there to comfort at all times. He sees every affliction we face. So could I call us this morning as we come to the table to worship God? Worship God for his sustaining grace, for his comfort to you as a Christian through his Son. Hope in God's comfort as you suffer through times and seasons of affliction. Ask God to increase your faith in him as he comforts you through seasons of affliction. And grow. By God's grace, grow. Don't become stagnant. Grow in your love for God and for one another as you comfort one another with God's comfort that he gives you. I'd like to have a moment of prayer as we prepare our hearts, and let's have a moment of quiet reflection as we think of what Christ has done for us on the cross. As we come to the table, perhaps you are going through a difficult season right now of affliction. Can I encourage you to call out to God? Thank him for his glory and his kindness to you, that he will give you this comfort that he will show to you. Maybe there's some sin in our lives this past week that we did not, we've held on to, but we don't want to hold on any longer. We want to confess and admit and repent of that sin. As we come to God's table this morning, we have a couple moments of quiet that we can just quiet our hearts, thank God for who he is, as we prepare to participate at his table. The men can come at this time while we are praying down to the front to prepare to collect our, or to prepare for communion.